But in once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I think we can do better than that. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Now that's robust. That's great. I knew you could do it. Welcome back and welcome to a brand new year here in our church calendar. Our calendar year may begin every year with the month of January, but our church year begins today with the season of Advent. And every year in our church calendar, we read through an entire gospel from beginning to end. Last year we read from the gospel according to Matthew. This year we're going to read from the gospel according to Mark. So I thought maybe, you know, just a couple of words about the Gospel of Mark, you might find them helpful, okay? The Gospel of Mark, above all other Gospels, tells us about the humanity and the emotions of Jesus. They're on full display. And if you listen carefully, you'll hear it. You'll hear phrases like, Jesus sighed from the depths of his spirit, or was moved with the deepest emotions. Or Jesus cried out full-throatedly. Listen carefully. Jesus' humanity expressed in the Gospel of Mark better than any other Gospel. Mark also is one of those Gospels that was not written by an apostle. You look at the list of the 12 apostles, you will not find the name Mark. So who is this guy Mark? Mark was the companion and the scribe of St. Peter. Mark was with Peter in Jerusalem, and Mark went with Peter to Antioch, and Mark went with Peter to Rome, and he wrote down St. Peter's preaching such that when you hear the Gospel of St. Mark, what you're really hearing is the Gospel according to St. Peter. And Mark, of all the Gospels, is the shortest, the densest, the briefest, so you really want to pay attention when you hear the Gospel of Mark read. And speaking of things that are dense, brief, and short, this is the shortest possible Advent this year. Did you know that? When Christmas falls on a Monday, Advent is only 3 weeks long. Now, I know I've got four candles up there, but you know the fourth week of Advent is just the morning of December 24th. 3 weeks long. So you really want to pay attention. And so for that matter, I thought, you know, it could help us appreciate the nature of Advent, because Advent is something that very few people understand, right? Everybody understands Lent. Everybody understands you turn away from sin, you repent of your wrongdoing, you give something up for Lent. Everybody understands Easter, everybody understands Christmas, but nobody seems to know what Advent's all about. Ask somebody what Advent's all about. And they'll tell you, Advent, that's the time when we prepare for the coming of the baby Jesus at Christmas. And let's face it, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at its face value. We all know Jesus is not born every year on the 25th of December. We know he's not a baby anymore. He's all grown up. And furthermore, I mean, let's face it, Jesus has already come. I mean, voila, right? What do we believe about the Blessed Sacrament? Real presence. So that's not it. So people will say, well, you know, Advent is a time in which we're waiting for something, but nobody's quite sure what we're waiting for. Or they'll say, well, Advent's a time in which we're preparing for something, and nobody's quite sure what we're preparing for. So let me help you understand. And we're going to understand this morning, this afternoon, by telling you a little story, okay? So about 100 years ago, there was a doctor, a physician from Austria. His name was Dr. Marius von Senden, and he did pioneering work in the area of cataract surgery, such that he literally had the first experience in the world of giving people sight who had never been able to see before. They've been blind since birth, right? I mean, just like a page out of the Bible, the blind could see. And Dr. von Senden imagined that when people were able to see for the first time, you know, they'd be overjoyed, but he was astonished to discover the variety of responses people had. So, for example, he gave sight to this one woman. She was in her 30s. And when the surgery was over, she was overjoyed overwhelmed. She looked at the sky, she looked at the trees, she looked in the eyes of her loved ones, and she wept tears of joy. And she just kept saying over and over again, "It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful." But then he had surgery on a 10-year-old boy, and he was very upset at the consequences. He did not like this intrusive new sensation. And he had a nervous breakdown, right? And he threw a little temper tantrum at the ability to see. Then he did surgery on a 10-year-old girl, and she was completely indifferent. You know, she was used to not seeing, so she walked around all day long with her eyes shut. Exact same reality, different responses. Jesus Christ has that same effect on people. Exact same person, different responses. So, for example, we hear stories in the Bible of Jesus giving sight to the blind, and he makes the deaf hear, and he makes the lame walk, and he brings the dead back to life. And people see him doing this, and they sing the praises of God. While other people see the exact same thing, and they plot for Jesus' death. Same person, different consequences. So it's true in our own time, too. I can teach a classroom full of people who are preparing to become Catholic about Jesus Christ, and they'll sit there in rapt attention because they can't wait to learn more about who Jesus is. But try this. Go to a cocktail party, go to a bar, go to any social setting, and bring up the name of Jesus Christ and watch as an icy pall descends across your conversation. I mean, you can talk about anybody else. You can talk about Confucius, you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about Plato, you can talk about Aristotle. You can talk about Joe Biden, you can talk about Vladimir Putin. People will engage you in conversation. Talk about Jesus Christ and watch the conversation come to a dead halt. Same person. Such different responses. The prophet Simeon told the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph on the day in which Jesus was presented in the temple that this child would be the rise and the fall of many in Israel, a sign that will be opposed and one who would lay bare the intentions of hearts. Some people will accept Christ the Lord, some people will never accept Christ the Lord. And it goes to show that the God who entered into his creation when he became a man, will not enter into a human heart. Not without your permission. That is what we are preparing for in Advent. And honestly, not just in Advent, but all year long. Our whole life long, essentially, is an Advent. It's just that in Advent, we pay particular attention to the fact that we must prepare for Christ to come into our hearts. But Advent's even more than that. Because not just are we talking about Christ, you know, coming spiritually into every heart, but during Advent, we're also remembering that it's a cornerstone of our faith that one day Jesus Christ is going to come back. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And when he comes again, he's not going to come as a cute little baby. He's going to come riding on the clouds of heaven, the executor of divine justice. And he's going to come just the same for people who wanted him and for people who didn't want him. And that's, of course, why we hear gospels like we heard today, you know, the gospel according to Mark, where Jesus says, watch and be on guard. I want to make one thing very important, one thing very clear. That does not mean that God is threatening you. I think sometimes people hear these gospels, you know, like Jesus is going to come back. You know, it's like God trying to threaten you, like he's going to catch you off guard. Understand, some people don't welcome Christ into this life, and when Christ comes again, it's not going to be welcome either. But honestly, for people like you and me, and hopefully this is true for all of us, we're trying our darndest to welcome the Lord into our life. When Christ comes back again, that's going to be a moment of unbridled joy. You ever seen online some of these videos that show soldiers coming back home from deployment? Take a look at them sometime. Heartwarming, astonishing stories. Like, for example, you know, I saw this one of this girl. She's 18 years old. She's graduating from high school. Her dad is deployed to Afghanistan. She has no idea he's come back. And when it comes time for her to get her diploma, her dad steps out and hands her her diploma, and she goes wild with joy, and the entire auditorium erupts in raucous applause. That kind of welcome. Or, you know, a mother whose son was deployed to Iraq, and she's not sure whether he's alive or dead, and then one day there's a knock at the door, and she doesn't know that he's there, and she opens the door, and she cannot contain her joy for seeing the one she loves with all her heart. Stop and consider. For those of us who at least try to love the Lord with all of our heart, this is not a bad thing. And it goes to show something else that we emphasize in the season of Advent. And that is, you might not consciously think this, but Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of everything your heart has desired. And you're going to know it when you see him. Understand this. Human beings, the only creatures on this whole planet who cannot live without hope. It's not true for animals. They do just fine without thinking about the future, right? But you and I, we are inextricably oriented towards the future. You cannot live without something to look forward to. If you don't have anything to look forward to, if you don't have anything to live for, you will sink into despair. What we have to recognize, though, and this is something that we do in the season of Advent, is the one you're longing for is actually Christ himself. Now, people hope for all kinds of things to come in the future. You know, some people hope for a really nice vacation, or they hope to find their dream house or the perfect apartment, you know, or maybe people have grander hopes than that. They want to save their children from making the same mistakes that they made when they were little, or they want to leave the world a better place than they found it. In the Old Testament, you see people with the fastest hope is imaginable. They want to see the desert bloom and the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear and dispersed peoples be reunited again in peace across all the world. Big hopes. That's why we read the Old Testament so much in the season of Advent. But are you aware that none of those things is anywhere like near enough for you? You were made for infinite love. Infinite joy. That's why, no matter what you get in this world, it's never enough. That's why we always have this experience. You hope for something, you get something, you ask, okay, now what? What's next? Always. Because your capacity is infinite. You're never going to fill an infinite capacity with a finite thing. St. Augustine said it best. You've made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. That's something we remember during Advent. You know, there's no envy in heaven. But if there were, they'd envy you. Because you can still do something to show your love for God. All they can do for the rest of eternity is praise and thank him. There's no regret or remorse in heaven. But if there were, they'd regret that they didn't love God even more than they did. You know, Jesus Christ did all kinds of things without your permission. He made you without asking your permission. Made this whole world without asking anybody's permission. God made the whole universe and he didn't consult anybody in the process. But there's one thing God will not do without your cooperation, without your permission, he will not bring you to heaven. Not without your permission. God himself asked permission to be born into this world. He asked permission of the Blessed Mother, like a gentleman. And he still asks permission to be born into a human heart. That's why Advent's so important. Listen. I know, culturally speaking, most people just skip Advent, right? They just skip it. They just go leap right to Christmas and they start singing Jingle Bell Rock and Ho Ho Ho, right? Don't do that. There are spiritual treasures that we focus on only in Advent. We need to focus on them. This season is incredibly brief. There is not one day to lose. Welcome him into your heart, and he will set your heart at peace. Amen.